Hello, welcome along to this week's episode of the Let's Get Running podcast. It's the first one of the year. How is the caramel kid?
What? Happy New Year. How's White Devil? How is the White Devil?
He's good. He's getting very little sleep because he has a little baby, which is exciting. She's brilliant. She's now in her sixth week of life, which means she's doing stuff like smiling. It's very exciting. It's really funny now to think of little tiny things that bring you such like enjoyment, like a baby being able to finally work out how to use her mouth is a momentous event. But yeah, it's quite funny. She's nice. She's pooing a lot, which is normal, I think. Because my wife is on the feeding duties, I am on the pooing duty, so I have to go and do the nappy changing.
Can we change your alias to Pooper Scooper?
You can, yeah. Pooper Wiper. Yeah.
Go around with a little hoover, just hoovering up the poo, yeah?
Yeah. And there's an awful lot of it, I can tell you that. So, we're enjoying it. I'm enjoying it, though. She's really
so
fun.
Basically, if you see Sean, don't shake his hand.
Don't. Well, there's one thing I'm trying to do, because basically in the morning Molly goes back to bed for a bit and I take the baby for a few hours, and that's when I try to do some work, but she doesn't listen to that. She just wants to wake up, and I a lady came over and showed us a few, like a health visitor in from Holland showed us how to do this thing where you put your little finger into their mouth and they suck it like a dummy, right? Because we haven't got a dummy or anything. Right. And
you're not that poor. You're not that poor. The show is not that bad, is it?
Yeah, well, it's going down the pan. And the first time I put it in her mouth, she was obviously not feeling very well. I put it in her mouth and she just vomed. The biggest amount of vom I've ever seen a baby vom everywhere. And I was thinking, oh my God, I've choked this baby. But it was baby. She was going to be sick either way. It was just, the finger was just in the way. But anyway, that's my life. My life is baby sick. And poo. I'm getting out for a few runs though. I've been doing like an hour a day, just at slow pace. I did try to do a session the other day, just an easy session, and that was all right. So let's hope the big half in a few months will be back on form in the back of the podcast.
Are you getting fatter?
I'm not. Yeah, a little bit. Yeah. My frame is bigger, let's say.
Are you on my levels yet?
Yeah, not yet.
Can you?
I can't pinch an inch yet, Jermaine.
Hey, I've got stretchy skin.
Yeah, it's going to ping back at any minute, right?
I'm talking about running.
Yeah.
So, for some reason, I think it was like Christmas Eve.
Yeah.
I thought I started at like 1:50.
Yeah.
At lunchtime. So I'm strolling down to work.
Yeah.
And then I get there and my bus has already left. What? I was like, what? They said, oh, you're supposed to start 15 minutes ago. I was like, crap. And I said to him, what direction was it going? Because obviously, I don't know when to sign on. I don't know which way the bus is going to go because it's on the card.
Yeah.
And obviously the driver that took the bus has the card. So I just said, which direction it going? He said, he don't know. So he printed the card up and then I took it and then I took some back double shortcuts running and I caught my own bus.
But did the driver get off?
Yeah. Cause I said, you're standby. He goes, yeah. I said, this is my bus. I said, I need it back. He goes, what? And the passengers didn't know what's going on because they say, you know, like you get a certain point, it says this bus changes over here.
Yeah.
And then he's gone like three stops.
Yeah.
And then I've come on and it says, no, we're changing over. And then obviously he's got off again.
And did he have to just go home, that fella? Poor guy.
No. So basically, standby.
Yeah.
He comes in for an 8-hour shift.
Yeah.
And whoever doesn't turn up, he would do their job.
Okay.
So and if it goes past these 8 hours, he gets overtime. But he could be there for like 7 hours, have no job. And in the last hour, there's a blowout. Someone doesn't turn up. So he'd do, then he obviously does a long shift.
Yeah.
But so obviously, he had to go back and wait for someone else not to turn up.
Because at the moment, right, if you're watching Luther, do you watch Luther?
Superman, with Ibis.
Yeah. And I'm just thinking if you're watching that sort of thing and you're thinking like, all this weird stuff going down in London, and suddenly this bus driver comes on and get off my bus. I'm taking over this bus. You must be thinking, oh God, where's this guy going to drive me now? He's going to drive us off the side of somewhere. We're going to be all killed here.
And in saying that, loads of the bus stands, like the bus stops, they've got this poster up saying, oh, the reason I train is so I can beat buses. I'm like, what the hell is this stuff? And it's a man with a crazy afro, looks a bit like Mr. Motivator. And it basically it's trying to get people to sign up to a gym.
Oh, yeah.
So the reason I train is so I can beat the bus. I was thinking, yeah, right.
Good on Mr. Motivator. Bring him back. Where is he? I want to get that like. So, actually, speaking of that, a regular listener, Finn Bob Johnson, I've seen a photo of him running in the cross-country championships, the Surrey cross-country championships, and he was wearing a Mr. Motivator-style get-up, some nice tight red shorts. Finn Bob Johnson, you know what I'm talking about. He was looking good. So Finn Bob Johnson is bringing back Mr. Motivator. I'll have to put the photo on Instagram or something, but anyway, hey. But this week we've got a bit of a different show. Because we're going to be looking back, we're going to be talking to three different people. You're going to hear them after we finish speaking. We're talking to three different people about their 2018, what their highlights were, and looking forward to 2019, what they're doing, what they're up to, and also what they if they have any resolutions or anything they think might be a good thing to advise people to follow in 2019. So we'll start by thinking about ourselves, Jermaine. What was your highlight of 2018? Have you got one?
Highlight. I had some good trips.
Yeah.
I haven't got one particular thing, but obviously Europeans was good.
Yeah.
Obviously getting my little puppy dog was good.
This is watching, this isn't running, this is watching the teams, right?
yeah, watch it.
Has it been a year since you've been competitive running? Or longer than that?
Yeah, longer than that. Maybe 2 years now.
Yeah. And you don't miss it?
Not really. I'm basically enjoying doing other sports, you know, like my football antics.
Okay, yeah. The poor man's Usain Bolt. My 2018 highlight was definitely hearing your story about a man getting his face shut in the doors at the back of your bus. That was one of my biggest highlights. Yeah,
that can't be a highlight. Yeah.
And from a running perspective, I enjoyed doing the training up to Frankfurt this year. So we had loads of, if you haven't listened to it, we did like a project.
Project Dixon.
We followed my training up until Frankfurt, which Frankfurt was a bloody write-off. It was a terrible, it didn't go well, but I really liked the training. The training was really fun. I enjoyed talking to Nate Jenkins. He is, if you check one of our old podcasts there, he was really good. Can you hear a siren in the background, Jermaine?
No.
Okay. This is behind the curtain. In Holland, every first Monday of the month, you get like a siren, and it's like they're testing out their terrorist warning system. So like you have this really loud siren.
A bit like World War II sirens.
It's exactly like that, and I can hear it. You probably can't hear it on the recording, but it's amazing. And the first time I was here, I absolutely weed myself thinking that this is what the siren was about until someone, I got my stuff together, I was going to leave the house, and then I realised, yeah, it's nothing. My neighbour told me, don't worry, stay calm, it's just a drill. But anyway.
The problem is with that system, everyone gets used to it, so when it really happens, they're not bothered.
Yeah, exactly.
Avoid the crying wolf.
Exactly, yeah. What was I saying? Yeah, I was saying back, Nate Jenkins was a really good interview to listen to. He talks about his theories behind marathon training. Renato Canova is a big Kenyan coach, big Italian coach working in Kenya. I enjoyed everything about that. It was really fun, and I'd like to try and get into shape that I can do one more marathon using that method and see if it goes better. So that was my highlights. What do you think if you had a resolution, Jermaine? What would you say? What do you want to do in 2019?
Well, I got no choice.
Make some paper.
I have to get in some reasonable shape. Otherwise, it's going to be a bloodbath and a half.
This is our challenge, right? Our Battle of the Podcast challenge.
So I need to get in half decent shape. Otherwise, I'm going to be back with the heavy rollers, you know?
So your resolution is to get some tempos done, because everyone knows tempos mean half marathon success, right?
Yeah.
So you're going to be tempoing big time in 2019.
So I'm one of those people at the first of the year, was out of my jogging kit, like with all that cobwebs on and stuff.
Smelling of mothballs and stuff.
Yeah.
Nice. I don't know if I've got a 2019 resolution. I think I'm going to be so like, my detention's going to be divided so much by the baby that I think I'm going to have to relinquish, like stop worrying about running so much and like just treat it as a bit of a, if I get out, I get out. If I don't get out, I'm not going to worry about it. So be more like, take my opportunities when I get them. So if I'm feeling good in the run, hammer it. If I'm feeling tired because I've had no sleep, just be a bit more flexible with running this year, I think.
So you'll be more casual.
I'm going to be more casual, yeah. And I think with work and everything like that, I'm going to be trying not take on as much because I want to be around for Greta's first year. So I think it's going to be quite a different year.
So I actually might beat you.
You might beat me.
I've been saving up my birthday wishes for a long time, so you never know.
Yeah. I think I'm going to have to watch you, to be honest. But hey, we'll be there in our vests, and our Let's Get Running vests. We'll be racing, so that'll be good. And we'll give more details about that soon. We're running the big half, hopefully, in London this year against a number of other podcasts. And we will hopefully be the champion fastest podcast there is. I reckon we will, Jermaine. We're going to get ready. Although I better get myself in gear. Anyway, we'll see. But let's speak to the guys and see what their resolutions are. Here we go. So I'm talking to Nick Gulab, the second place finisher at the British Trial recently in Liverpool. How are you doing, Nick?
Yeah, not bad. Thanks, Sean. How are you doing yourself?
Very well, very well. How was 2018? Was it a good one?
It was a rough one, up and down, up and down. An okay indoor season, pretty much next to nothing during the track season. Yeah. And then a little bit more during the last part of the winter. So the end of the year picked up, but
a tough one.
Yeah, majority of it was quite tough.
And what was the problem just sort of during the track season? Just injuries or what was there?
It was lots of different things. Lots of different things. So went to Font for 7 weeks and did after training for 7 weeks and trained really well. Came down, ran the Ipswich 5K, ran really well there. And then I had a good couple of sessions, but between the Ipswich 5K and then I started a 5,000 in Belgium at the end of May. But I had this idea in my head that I had to lose weight, so I started restricting how much I ate. Yeah. And then that really messed me up. Messed me up. So I was feeling tired all the time and I was struggling a lot. And it just didn't work. It didn't work at all.
How did you turn the corner then? How did you get out of that trap?
Well, I actually just stopped running because I had a lot of, even when I came down from altitude, I was in really good shape and stuff. I still had a lot of self-doubt, I was doubting myself a lot. But then feeling rubbish all the time physically, I felt awful all the time. I had no energy, couldn't do anything.
Yeah.
There was one session where I had to do like a mile on the track quite fast and I only ran 5:55 and I felt all out.
Really?
It was terrible. It was some of the worst sessions of my life. Yeah. At sort of end of May, beginning of June.
Yeah.
Sorry, beginning of June, not end of May, beginning of June.
Yeah.
And in the end, I can't remember how it started, but I ended up taking 2 months off.
Right.
And I can't remember how it wasn't planned, but I'm pretty sure it was just like, every day I was just like, well, I don't want to go running today. So I didn't.
Yeah.
And that's pretty much just what happened for 2 months.
So you didn't stop with the intention of quitting entirely. You just thought, I'm going
to
just.
No, I never thought, oh, I'm going to quit here.
Yeah.
It was just every day for. It was around, give or take, it was, I can't remember the exact amount of time. It was a long time. It was around the 2 month mark.
Yeah.
It was just, every day I was just like, nah, I don't fancy it today.
Really?
I don't want to go running today. Because I just, physically I felt awful and that really played with my head. And
yeah.
My head was in a horrible state even when I'm fit.
Yeah.
So when I was unfit and I was struggling and everything was tough, I was just, yeah, I didn't want to know. I really didn't. I could think of nothing worse than going for a run.
Wow. So what changed then? How did you come out of that spell?
Well, I started working with a life coach. She also happens to be Wendy Hilton. Her name is.
Yeah.
She happens to be a British Athletics soft tissue massage person, monsieur.
Yeah.
I actually just seen her a few hours ago.
Oh.
As prep for Sterling.
Right. Yeah.
And so I started working with her, like, because my coach, I sat down with my coach, and you know, I'd had this time off. He's like, something needs to be done. We can't just keep going like this.
Yeah.
I was like, yeah, you know, something does need to be done. He's like, you got all the physical attributes. But you need to sort your head out. Something needs to be done. And I tried psychology in the past.
Yeah.
A couple of years ago, 2-3 years ago, I tried it. I didn't really agree with it. I tried a psychologist. No, I didn't really.
Yeah.
Didn't really agree with it. But this coaching is something. It's something different.
Yeah.
And he knew Wendy. Craig gets on really well with Wendy, so he was like, "Well, let's give it a try and see what happens."
Yeah. So, what does it look like then? The sort of life coaching. Obviously, you won't come to go into it in detail, but what sort of approach does he have?
Well, it's not like a sports psychologist, where the sports psychologist, from what I remember, sort of tells you what to think and what to do and like how to approach things.
Yeah.
And gives you a process. The coaching, it sort of uses your own thinking to develop a strategy to cope with if you're under stress, or it's just not, you know, it's not like sport or anything. It's not just that. It's not limited to that. It can be anything, any walk of life.
Yeah. Okay.
And that's what these life coaches do. They help you develop strategies that are specifically for you, to help you cope with whatever's wrong, whatever you have wrong with you.
And how did that manifest itself for you? How did you kind of put that into practice? What sort of things were you doing?
So I do a couple of things. So I do writing stuff down. We do what's the other stuff we do? Do timelines. We do visualizations. We do, you know, all these horrible thoughts I have, we sort of we turn them into characters.
Okay.
So it doesn't become part of you, because it's very easy to think that all these negative thoughts you have are actually part of you.
Yeah. Okay.
But they're not. If you turn them into characters, it limits their power over you.
Yeah. Okay.
So you can turn them into characters or things or whatever.
Yeah.
So it's almost something you're talking to.
Yeah,
rather than
okay.
your mind taking over and doing all of that. It's a bit like that. And a lot of for me personally, it helps for me to write stuff down.
Yeah, okay.
So that's a big one. I use write stuff down, and through that, she's able to help me change the language in which I use to talk to myself.
Okay. And is this kind of stuff you'd say to yourself during sessions and races and that sort of thing?
So, I mean, it's you know, I've said it before, you know, during the Ipswich 5K when I ran really well and I was in really good shape, doubting myself the whole time. I was ready to drop out after a K. I was ready to drop out after a K. I was very close to stepping off the course.
Yeah.
Just because, I was just like, I can't do it. I don't think I can make it to the end. I don't think I'm good enough.
Wow.
I don't think I've got the mental strength to hack racing. Everything negative you could say to yourself, every sort of way you could beat yourself up, I was pretty much doing that during the race. And it wasn't until I reached sort of like the last 600 meters when I actually started thinking positively, and I was like, oh my God, we're getting to the finish here. I need to start sorting things out. So it wasn't great. And it just became, it became unmanageable.
Yeah.
It's out of control. And something needs to be done. And I'm trying something, and it seems to be helping so far.
I was going to say, it seems to be helping a lot. You were second at the British trial, which is amazing. How do you feel when you're racing now then? So you must still have those voices in your head, but what's changed?
No, I don't. I don't really. Not anymore. It changed really quickly. So we did something a bit unconventional, actually. actually started racing before I started training.
Wow.
Okay. Because my thinking behind it was I need to use my head to get through these races. In the past, I've been able to use, because I've been so physically fit in the past,
yeah,
that I could think negatively and it would, and I could still get through the race and just use my physical attributes to get through the race rather than positive thinking, and I could just sort of get through it. Yeah. Whereas this time I was like, well, I want to flip it now.
Yeah.
I want to be physically very unfit, or I was very unfit.
Yeah.
And I want to be able to race just using determination, competitiveness, and will.
Yeah.
Okay. And so that's how I started, and and that's how the pattern started. It was like there was no pressure, because I wasn't very, when I was very physically fit, I was I put a lot of pressure on myself. It's like, well, I have to use this fitness, I have to show this fitness, I have to do something.
Yeah. Capitalize on it.
Yeah, yeah. Something has to come from it. Sometimes it did, sometimes it didn't.
Yeah.
But this time I was like, right, I've backed myself into a corner here. I can't escape using my fitness. I have to use my head to get out of this, and my determination. And
yeah.
That's what I did, and then did a couple of races. They went a lot better than expected.
Yeah.
And then I did 4 weeks training, and then an easy week going into Liverpool. Did Liverpool, and I was just like, because I had no expectation, I was like, well, I've only trained 4 weeks, I can't run well.
Yeah.
In my head, I was like, there's nothing I can do here. Like, if me and my coach were saying going into it, like, top 20 is a good result off what I've done.
Yeah.
So I was just, as I went off really hard, and I found myself in the top four, I think, straight away, coming off the start straight.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, I'm here now. I'm not going to slow down. I may as well stay and see how long I can stay. And that's what it was. That was the only thought going through my head.
Yeah.
In Liverpool, was just like, well, let's see how long I can stay at.
Nice.
And that's all it was. It was just, well, let's just see how long I can stay here. I didn't have any expectation to stay. There wasn't any pressure or, cause I was like, well, I'm not, I honestly didn't think I was that fit.
Yeah. But
and it was just also, like, I wasn't thinking.
Yeah.
It's like my head was empty.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like when you're not thinking, you can just let your body do what it wants.
Excellent. And then so going forward, what are your plans for 2019, and how are you going to progress this these learnings from the end of 2018 in 2019?
Well, I'm still going to I still want to keep racing. I've got a race in on the weekend, or the week on the 12th of Jan.
Yeah.
I'm really excited about that one. I'm actually really looking forward to that. Whereas usually in the past, I'd sort of, like this time last year, I'd think, oh God, I've got a race.
Yeah.
Cause I'd just be expecting the worst. But now I'm like, I'm racing soon. I'm really excited.
Yeah, great.
So I got that. And then, beyond that, my coach, Craig Winrow, he wants me to do some indoor races.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, they're few and far between this year. I've not looked, but he says there's not that many available, 3,000. So it might be slim pickings.
Yeah.
But I'm quite happy to go on the road and do some road stuff, do some cross. I don't really mind, to be honest. As long as I'm racing, I don't really mind.
Great.
Liverpool showed me that training is training, racing is racing. You can't really compare the two. You can't say, oh, I've done this training, so that means I can go and do this race. I'm just like, well, I've done a bit of training, I'm fit, so I may as well go do something in a race and see what happens.
Yeah, a nice relaxed position to be in.
Yeah, that's what I want to do. I just want to keep racing and keep staying relaxed. And the most important thing is enjoying it.
Yeah, exactly. So do you have a resolution then? Might not be in running, but do you have a resolution for 2019 or advice for a resolution for others?
No, I didn't actually think about one. Too busy training. I didn't actually think about resolution. Too busy training, eating and sleeping. I didn't actually get around to think about it. Definitely racing. I think
try
and race it. Keep with this life coaching stuff that I do. Yeah, I get given. Wendy gives me homework, so. Yeah. There's stuff, it's not just the sessions, it's what you do outside the sessions, which are really important.
Yeah, okay. It's
you know, it's almost like another side of training in itself. So that I'd like to keep on top of that. I think that would be really important.
Yeah.
To keep on top of that and keep, because it is all practice. You just got to practice doing these things.
Yeah. Okay.
So that'd be my resolution, to keep on top of all these strategies that I've developed and keep them sharp.
Great. And is there a simple way we could translate that to our listeners? So if they are suffering from, you know, the voices in their head that are telling them to quit and tell them to drop out, how would you, like, is there simple things you can do or little steps you can take quite quickly to stop you talking in that way to yourself?
Yeah. I would say I'd write these things down. Like, for me, that's what really works. If you write them down, because when this voice is going, these negative thoughts, they talk so quickly and they just go through different opinions, or they make different points very, very quickly. And there's just things running around 100 miles an hour in your head. I'd write them down so you can actually see what you're actually thinking.
Yeah.
You know, slow it down and see what you're actually saying to yourself.
Yeah.
And then write down the thoughts of who you want to be. So imagine who you want to be.
Yeah.
And write down how that person would think.
Okay.
And write down those thoughts.
Yeah.
And compare the two, and you'll see, you should hopefully see a vast difference.
Yeah.
And work on making those thoughts of the person you want to be, make them the second nature. You know, use visualization as a trigger to remember these things, or, you know, maybe memorize them, saying to yourself over and over again. But yeah, do that. I would like write down the thoughts of who these negative things that you've got going through your head, and then write down the thoughts of who you want to be and what person you think.
Yeah, sounds great. Fantastic. Nice one, Nick. Well, thanks for the advice, and good luck for Sterling next week, and for the
cheers,
indoor
thank
season.
You very much.
Maybe catch up soon.
Cheers, take care.
So I'm here with Damien Hall, the UTMB fifth placer this year. And I was going to ask you, Damien, your highlight of the year, but that's probably up there amongst them, isn't it?
hi. Thanks for having me on. I do, when I look back at the year, I think that is the moment I feel the most satisfied with. You know, it'd been sort of 4 years in the making, really. I did UTMB 4 years in a row, and I'd put a lot of pressure on myself, and I really wanted it, you know. So it was satisfying and a big relief. But in terms of, I do think, I was looking back on my year, and I do think in terms of pure enjoyment, possibly I did a run more recently with Beth Pascal, a good friend of mine. We ran the Cape Wrath Trail in Scotland in December, and that was sort of 4 or 5 days of just, yeah, being out in wild places, remote places. I mean, it was dark most of the time, but we, you know, that was a beautiful, you know, that was a more enjoyable highlight of the year in a way, because there was not much pressure and it was just fun, mostly fun. And then I did a wonderful race early in the year called the Ice Ultra in February as well, which was just beautiful in sort of Arctic Sweden. I was very lucky to do that.
Nice.
And that was just incredible scenery, you know, just lots of snow and ice and beautiful. So in a way, those two were kind of more enjoyable. Because I think at UTMB, I did sort of start to feel the pressure that I'd put on myself. It was all my own doing, but, it still ended up being the highlight, I suppose. Yes.
Yeah. Fantastic. How was the weather then in Scotland in December? I guess, was it pretty tough to get through that?
Do you know what? We were really lucky, actually. We were expecting a real winter adventure, you know, snow and rain and what have you, but actually it hardly rained on us. It got, you know, it was coldish. It was around zero sometimes, but actually we wanted it colder because then the bogs freeze up a bit.
Okay.
And we were lucky with the rain. It did rain quite heavily beforehand, but and some of the we were a bit fearful of some of the river crossings, which can get overhead height.
Right.
So we actually delayed our attempt by a day, because when we got there, the rivers were high. We delayed it by a day, and none of the rivers were as much as, none of them were over knee height in the end.
Okay.
So ultimately we were very lucky with the weather up there. Yeah.
Fantastic. And given 2018 was a breakthrough in terms of performance, do you think you did things differently in 2018 that you hadn't in previous years?
A little bit. I think the two different things I did were, I did track sessions for the first time, you know, proper intervals at Bath, Team Bath Athletics Club.
Yeah.
And I should thank Paul King up there for his excellent coaching. So not every week, but I had spells where I'd go up there for a few weeks in a row and do proper intervals. I'd never actually done that before.
Yeah.
I can see how for ultra running that might seem like it's the totally opposite type of running you do, but hopefully it just lifts your, you know, just lifts your fitness, improves your form, hopefully.
Yeah.
Improves your running economy, makes my kind of forever pace, my slow pace, hopefully a bit quicker.
Yeah.
I do think that helps. And I suppose the other thing I did, and I'm always a bit careful to talk about this in a way, but I did do more volume, you know, higher mileage overall in the weeks, but it was still rare that I did 100 miles a week.
Yeah.
But I did better blocks of kind of 80 and 90 miles a week with, you know, with specificity in there.
Yeah.
So good. If I was leading up to a mountain race, good ascent and gradient as well. I'd get out to Brecon Beacons. So I guess, yeah, I did more speed work and more volume. I think those two things did benefit me overall for the year.
And looking ahead to 2019, what's in the calendar? Have you got any races planned already?
Yeah. So at the end of February, I'm doing one called Trans Gran Canaria.
Oh, yeah.
Which is about 80 miles on Gran Canaria, goes pretty much right across the island. And there's already 8,000 meters of sort of, ascent in that. So it's kind of a 3/4 UTMB.
Right.
So they're the races that seem to suit me naturally, you know, up and down mountains. So really you don't have to run too much because you can power hike uphill. So that's kind of our secret, my little wimpy secret. So I'm looking forward to that a lot. And then I've got another big one in September called the Ultra Tour Monte Rosa, which is kind of a UTMB style one. It's big mountains. It's got more ascent than UTMB, about 11,000 meters, and it's 105 miles.
Yeah.
So that's the stuff that really suits me. But in the middle, I'm trying to do something which is a bit different, which is I'm still hoping to get into Western States, which is a 100 miler in America.
Yeah.
There's a lot sort of, it's actually a net downhill race and a lot faster.
Yeah.
And hotter. So in a way it doesn't suit me so much, but I'm going to try and do it's difficult to get into. So I'm going to go out in April and do a 100K race out there, which is like a golden ticket race. So if I get in the top two there, then I get a place at Western States. So it's quite high risk because, you know, it's expensive to go to America and I can only get in the top two. Otherwise, you know, I don't get in. So that's what I'm doing in the middle of the year. So at the moment, those are my kind of three or four main goals.
And looking at that then, are you, because it's downhill, because it might require a bit more speed, are you going to change training in 2019 to try and make sure you qualify and get into that race?
I think in the middle of the year, I think, you know, for this race in February, I'll train as I normally do, get out to the Brecon Beacons a lot. And but after that, yeah, I think I'll have to switch my training to more track work and more tempo runs.
Yeah.
I mean, I love running downhill anyway, and it's kind of good trails as well, rather than technical trails, I believe. So, around here, it's kind of, I mean, the Cotswolds, there's okay trails. But yeah, more tempo, more speed. If I get into Western States, I'll have to think about heat, but I don't want to get carried away yet.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I'll be visiting the track more often and hope, I'll do the Bath Half Marathon, which is, in March.
Yeah.
I haven't done that for a few years, and it was the race I did back in 2011 that made me really fall in love with running. So I'd be excited to go back there.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'm excited about switching things around a bit and working on speed as much as I hate it.
And do you have any sort of New Year's resolutions, anything different you thought about doing in 2019 to improve running, or just for your life? Are you changing anything about your life that will help you have more enjoyment in 2019?
I must admit, I've thought about resolutions. I can't remember the last time I made one. I haven't really got one. I think it's kind of more of the same in a way, which is a bit of a boring answer. But I guess the lesson I learned last year, I think, was to think about, you know, everything you do is part of your training. So how much sleep I have, what I eat, what I drink, how I sit at my desk. That's all train. You know, that's all part of my training, because if you're just slouching at your desk all day, when you go running, you're not going to snap into great form instantly, are you? So you've got to think about, and I'm just straightening myself up as I talk here.
Yeah, me too.
You've got to, and strength work and just thinking of it in a holistic way. Diet's a dangerous word, but what you eat is, you know, everything you do is important towards your running. It all affects your running.
Yeah.
So I think that was the lesson I learned last year, was that eating well, sleeping well, you know, giving up booze for spells, that all helps. And the mental side of things is fascinating as well. You know, trying to be relaxed for big races, trying to get in the right mindset, trying to have time. You know, I suppose also making sure I don't neglect family life, because I don't know if it's similar for you, but sometimes training, you know, that eagerness to train can take over, and you maybe neglect family a little bit. And but when I come to a big race, I need to feel that I'm, you know, you get these long dark hours in the middle of the night in my races, and you start agonizing over whether you're a good parent and stuff. And if you, you do sort of scrape the barrel of your soul. So you want to be happy in those moments that you've been a good father as well. So it's getting the balance. Getting the balance there as well, I think.
I was by the friend who was he was a professional rugby player for Exeter, and I remember he used to encourage them to go out once a week. And they were moving into the Premiership, so they were a professional team. They used to encourage them to go out once a week and get drunk, and I thought that was quite a weird professional team. But they said, well, basically you need to have other things in your life other than, and it's a weird thing to say, other than rugby. So in the same way, thinking about your family, it does actually, being happy with your family and giving them time is almost good training, because it boosts your, I don't know what's the word, oxytocins and that sort of thing, and actually that's going to help you be more relaxed and improve your running. So yes, could you give more family time?
Yeah, no, I think that's important, and you want to be sort of at peace when it comes to the races, especially mine that can go on for 20 hours. You want to be, you know, you want to be feeling peaceful and good about the world, and loved by your family, I suppose. And to get that feeling, you need to sort of love them back without getting too in emotional here. I totally agree with that sort of attitude.
Yeah, and what about the UTMB? Is that box ticked, if I can say the word, or are you thinking in a couple of years' time that might be something you want to go back and even try and improve on that performance?
I think for now, I've just promised myself, give it a year off and see how I feel about it.
Yeah.
So I'll just see how much I miss it, how much I enjoy other races. I really felt, I suppose, that to do any better, I need to train even harder, and whether I've really got the hours to do that in my current sort of lifestyle. Like really, and this isn't a plea, I'm very happy with how things are, but really I'd need, you know, another sponsor or two to come in and sort of help me, so that I could, you know, the guys who finished second and third there last year, they trained for a whole month out in the Alps before the race. You know, I can't do, even if I could do that financially, I don't want to be away from my family for a month.
No.
And I probably couldn't, I don't know if I could take them out there for a whole month. Maybe that would work, I don't know, but I'd need someone to support that, you know. So I don't know if I could train any harder than I did last year. So that's something I'm mulling over and puzzling. But there are other exciting races, so I am keen to go and try, see some other races and see how that goes, really.
Yeah, fantastic. So there's no plans to move the whole family out to live in the Alps in the next couple of years?
I wouldn't say no. If the opportunity came along, I wouldn't say no. Who knows?
Excellent. And one last thing is about the film. Is that, how's things going with that? Is it still sort of available to watch? Where can we catch up with that?
Yeah, I think it's on the best place to check is Summit Fever Media, who are the filmmakers who made it. They've got a website, which I'm pretty sure is summitfevermedia.com. The best place to check in is go to their website and follow the links there. It won an award at the Kendall Mountain Festival, so they were
cracking.
Really chuffed.
Yeah, nice.
It won the People's Choice Award, which was a sort of voted for by the public, so they were absolutely over the moon and really grateful, and so am I that it seemed to, you know, strike a chord with people. So we're really really grateful for the reception it's had.
Excellent, nice one. Well, I won't keep you too long. I know you're at work, so I'll let you get on, but thanks a lot for chatting to us, and good luck with the plans for the races this year.
Thank you so much for having me on, and good luck with your races as well.
Nice one. Cheers. So we're talking to Hayley Carruthers. How are you doing, Hayley? International marathon runner.
Yeah, it sounds all right, that, doesn't
it? Yeah, it does, yeah. What a 2018. So how did it go? England debut this year.
Yeah, so Toronto Marathon in October. So that was definitely way up there, on along with the highlights, and still doesn't even seem real that it happened, but it definitely did. So
how did you get picked for it?
So it was a selection. So when I ran the Vitality 10,000 in May.
Yeah.
I got the England qualification time.
Yeah.
And then that kind of put me on the scale of England qualification. And then I got an email. So you kind of register your interest and that sort of thing. And then I got an email, funnily enough, on my dad's birthday, which was a nice present for him.
Yeah.
Saying I'd been chosen. So.
Wow. And so it was your marathon debut?
No, my England debut.
Okay.
It was my third marathon.
Okay.
So I did Manchester 2017 in
3:22
and then London 2018 in 2:47.
Wow.
And then got chosen from that along with my Vitality 10,000 time, I think, something along those lines.
Yeah. And how was the experience?
Oh, it was just amazing. As you can imagine, it was, if you ever saw my interview after the Great North Run, it was something similar to along of, oh God, oh my God, oh my God. But it was just, I think, because it was so unexpected, I was really, really emotional and just so excited. And because I'd never really known what it felt like to go abroad to race as an elite athlete, it was just absolutely brilliant. And the Canadian Running Series looked after us like we were royalty. It was
really
just brilliant. And we met loads of amazing athletes like Cam Levins, Krista Duchesne, Jess Trengrove. It was just, and then to run a PB was just the cherry on top of a fantastic year, really.
So what was the time you ran then?
2:36, so an 11-minute PB.
Wow.
It was really good. And,
and the marathon was great to see that you kind of you reacted to the pride of the vest with a positive performance. Sometimes people shrink from that, so it's great to see that you went ahead and improved. 11-minute PB, fantastic.
Yeah.
And
so like,
carry on,
the build up to it that week, it was just, it was such a, like a surreal blur. It was, we had our own physio, like we were given like this really fancy hotel, and I was so excited. I was like, oh wow, this is really cool.
Yeah.
And everyone kept going, oh welcome, well, and I'm just a runner, and I was, okay, thank you. And all the meals, we could have whatever we wanted, and like we could have a massage whenever we wanted it, and it was just, everything was so easy. It was just like the perfect build up, really.
Yeah.
And I think only the night before I kind of started to realize why I was here, and it wasn't just kind of
on a jolly,
I just go to Canada for a holiday. And, it was just fantastic.
Yeah. And to make that bigger breakthrough, has your training changed in 2018? Have you done anything differently last year that you hadn't done previously?
Well, I'd not really done anything previously. Right. It was 2018 was really the year I kind of started training.
Yeah.
So, like, I met my coach, my previous coach, in November 2017, and then started kind of training then.
Hmm.
So I really had no structure before that.
Wow.
And then in January, I kind of said, oh God, I can't be coached. It was too much. I felt too structured. And so I said to my coach, I don't think it's going to work.
Yeah.
And then ran the half marathon in February, and then kind of thought, probably should take up some coaching, really. And then we kind of joined forces again.
Yeah.
And then we just kind of went on what worked for me, what didn't work, and started with a really flexible and relaxed approach. And then I just think if you are flexible and try and have a bit of fun, they'd say the results follow.
Yeah, absolutely.
So.
Yeah. And how are you getting that through into next year? Have you got kind of any plans for this year in terms of your training or your enjoyment of the sport?
Yeah, I will say the main thing really is just what worked well for me was keeping it fun and relaxed. And I'll say I feel absolutely privileged to be where I am, and especially to be on the elite start line at London Marathon this year. It's an absolute honour.
Yeah.
So I'll try and run the best I can there on the day. And just whatever we will be.
Yeah.
And then I really want to run Highgate this year.
Oh, yeah.
So I said I'd never even heard of it. And then I was watching some of the videos back from last year, and I thought, oh, I'd like to do that. That looks really fun. It just looked like an absolutely great atmosphere. And that's what it's all about for me, really.
Yeah.
I just want to enjoy it and just have fun. And I love running. And if I can run at a high level, then brilliant. And if it doesn't work out, it doesn't. But I'm enjoying just doing what I'm doing, and it seems to be working okay.
Yeah, great. So I guess you're going into races. Are you feeling pressure then? Because if you're quite relaxed and enjoying,
no. I'll get really, really nervous the day before and the morning before.
Yeah.
But because I've got no expectations or no one's thinking, right, you need to run this time for this. And
yeah.
I just think, well, if I train as hard as I can, enjoy the training, then the results will come.
Just
enjoying it. So it's been a brilliant year. And I think if 2019 tops that, I don't really have any words, really.
And do you think there's added pressure now with being noticed, with being, you know, of wearing the England vest and things? Do you feel an added pressure to hit times or anything like that? Or are you still quite relaxed for you?
Yeah, I still feel fairly relaxed. Mm. I think the more I kind of feel pressure on when you go on a start line, I'm going to say just have a good race. And I think what the results have come so far, like the times have really shown that if I've worked hard, the results will come. So that kind of takes the pressure off. If I know I'm prepared, then there's nothing else I can do. And if I do run a bad time, then it's just kind of, well, what could we do to improve that? Because obviously something wasn't right in the prep, or it's just, it kind of, every race I think is a learning curve. It gives you an experience. And because I say I'm fairly inexperienced, so I've only been running just over 2 years.
Yeah.
There's not been many races to learn from.
Yeah, absolutely.
So it's taking everything in my stride and just enjoying it.
And have you noticed this year, sort of given you coming out to the Elite Start in London, have you noticed your training's sort of increasing in its either mileage or intensity, or are you guys keeping it fairly slow and progressive?
Yeah, so it's this training cycle now is going to probably be a lot more than it was pre-Canada, but because my legs are kind of getting used to running more mileage, and but kind of keeping the basics the same.
Yeah.
Because it worked really well, obviously, with an 11-minute PB. I think something was going right. But it's just kind of maybe upping the intensity a little bit, and I'm just going to try and stay as relaxed as possible.
Yeah.
And just do what I can, and it's just been brilliant. So. Yeah.
And are you allowing yourself to dream? Do you know what I mean? Are you thinking, I want a time goal for this? Or is that coming into your mind now?
I think, I always think now, because of the 2018, no goal is unreachable. And I think everything always seems impossible until you've done it.
Yeah.
So I kind of don't want to put numbers or goals on a piece of paper in case they don't get met, because then you're faced with disappointment. Whereas if I just kind of go along for the ride, everything seems good, really.
Everything's a bonus.
Absolutely.
Fantastic. And if you had sort of to give advice to other people, like, you had such a good year last year, what would your advice be to runners who are thinking about 2019 and thinking about what they can do to improve their running in 2019?
Mm-hmm.
What kind of one or two pieces of advice would you give to them to help them improve in the next year?
I'd definitely say just keep it fun and enjoy it and have a bit of fun. Be flexible.
Yeah.
Do races that you like to do, and just listen to your coach, and they generally kind of know you as well as you know yourself. But mostly listen to your body, find out what works. Your body's always trying to tell you something.
Yeah.
Whether if you're tired, sleep, hungry, eat, that's what we're made for.
Yeah, exactly.
But most importantly, just be happy, be healthy, and the results will follow.
Yeah. It's amazing that we're just having had a little baby like this week, and they talk, you go through all the, you don't know much about that sort of thing, but when they say, you know, the mother produces exactly the right breast milk quantities and your body is incredible. Like your body's incredible at sending you signs and signals about what it wants and what it needs. But if you tend to look too much at a bit of paper and say, right, I've set myself a goal of 2019 miles or whatever else, your body doesn't need that. Your body needs, you can tell you what it needs. It's a matter of, like you say, listening in and trying to make sure you observe those cues, sort of thing. Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah. And say when you put numbers on things, it can be so overwhelming.
Yeah,
and it kind of takes the fun out of it. So if you don't run a specific time, you think, oh God, and you beat yourself up about it. But if, obviously, I do have some time goals in mind, because you have your qualification things and blah, blah, blah. But it's, if it happens, then it does. But if it doesn't, I don't really know any different.
Yeah.
It's just, I'll just carry on as I am and,
go and enjoy it.
Really good.
Excellent. Well, good to hear it. Good to hear you're enjoying it, and you're looking forward to the next year and seeing how, where it all takes you. But you've got a mile to come up with. We talked about that off air, about a 5K. That's going to be a bit of a blast out, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. So it's 3K, believe it or not.
Oh, 3K. Winning. Oh, right. Wow.
Oh, God.
So from marathon legs to short to 3K.
Yeah. Wow. 20-mile long warm-up, I think.
Yeah, fantastic.
And then maybe something will happen.
Yeah. Well, good luck for that. And good luck, most importantly, for your training for London. Fingers crossed that everything goes to plan and you're ready to go in a couple of months' time. Great. Thanks, Hayley.
Thank you. Nice Thank one. You. Bye.
So we had some good interviews there, some good advice for 2019. Thanks for that, guys. We've had some good reviews over the year. Before that, I will put out, we asked people on Instagram and Facebook for their resolutions. We've had a few good ones. We've had one from Rhiannon Lorimer. She said hers is to be able to start running again after developing runner's knee. She hasn't run since November, which is a bit of a pain in the neck for her. We had a few from...
She didn't get a frying pan syndrome, did she?
She didn't have the frying pan knee. No. We've had one from Run Mindful Lucy. So I know Lucy, I know her boyfriend Paul, and I said to her resolution is to be to prize Paul's running cap off his head for long enough to give it a wash. And she said, already done. She's bought them a new one so they can start on a rotation system. Hashtag smelly cats. Yeah. JetLee67 said, I'm training for London Marathon this year. Resolution is to keep the training. It's so hard. I'm sure she can. Lizzie Bailey.
Don't worry. We'll keep you motivated. We'll keep you motivated.
We'll keep you motivated. Keep listening, JetLee67. Lizzie Bailey. To not do a marathon on Mad Ultra Race. I know Lizzie's just come back from doing a mad race in Peru, the Marathon de Sables version in Peru. She's always doing mad races like in Miami and where was it? Florida. She did a Florida Keys. I think it was a long 100-miler and stuff. So yeah, she's not doing Mad Ultra Race this year. Enjoy the trails without any pressure. Good idea. Nice one. Running with Nick, doing the Vancouver Marathon as well as a few half marathons. And he's going to try and run 2019 miles this year. Also wants to smash 3 hours for the marathon and get a good for age time for London next year. So he's got a lot on, is Nick. He's got a lot on there. Verity, she says she's going to try and finish the Grizzly in 9 weeks' time. Grizzly down in Devon is a good race.
Yeah.
Steve Marin wants to stick to a training plan and aim for sub 100 minutes for half marathon. Nice one. Ewan, coded runner, another injury-free year, consistent year for him. The results
that's really got to be the most that every runner wants that.
Every runner wants injury. That. Yeah. And the Welsh runner, Matt Rees, we know Matt, he says the performance is to get to the marathon start line having nailed the marathon block and run 2:24 a marathon Seville. Nice one. And go to head to the mountains, to run for the enjoyment of it. Nice one. Last one, Mike runs far. He's to start enjoying his running again, aiming to crack 5 minutes for the mile at Westminster City Mile. Nice one. So there's lots there. And a little cheeky one is Sam Barnes says he's going to break the LGR Let's Get Running marathon record. Yeah, bring it on. Bring it on, Sam. Yeah. Bring
it on. Sam. That should be easy. Sam will shit himself.
Yeah.
Isn't it?
Sam, I'm waiting for you, Sam. Is that creepy enough?
Don't worry, Sam. I'm backing you. I'm backing the underdog.
We also got some good reviews, and I'm going to read them. So they were some good ones.
How many did we get?
We got two.
We doubled our quota. We must be popular. People must have been merry and thought, oh, we'll give them an extra.
Exactly.
One.
We've got 41 reviews, but as in ratings, but only a few more extra written reviews. There were one that says, great running podcast by Running Sam C. Always a fun listen! ! Very informative and a nice diverse range of running topics are covered. That is what we are aiming to do. So nice one. Next one, running, is the title is Running, Buses and Babies, All Together at Last. By a lady or a jack called Midlife Running Crisis. And it says, now I can indulge my love of running whilst doing the laundry or having a bath. No annoying the family either. Keep up the banter. So thanks for that Midlife Running Crisis. Very kind.
Yeah, we could, because obviously you could tell us about the, and I could tell you how annoying parents are with babies that get on the bus. there could be a niche family transport traveling system that we can start, you know.
I think this is our calling. We're gonna do it. Nice one. But as ever, it's always great if you guys share the show and spread the word. We're looking to try and
reach
more people this year. So yeah, if you can share the show, we're really grateful. And buy a t-shirt. They're on sale. Let's get running /shop.
All depends what sizes you've got. People might not fit in them these days.
Well, the vests have sold out, so we're going to need to get some more. So we will be looking for some more vests. But we need to get some more, actually, for me and you to wear, to be honest. But so, yeah, we will make another order of vests for people to
raise. Please, I'm tropical. I'm wearing a T-shirt. I don't want my shoulders to get cold.
Come on, boy. Is it this? Who's the Australian fella who said... I think it was, I can't remember his name. It's not Lee Troop, but another one of them. Anyway, he said that he thinks that the way he improved his performance was during the winter months, he used to wear tiny vests and shorts, so he ran faster to keep himself warmer. So boy, if you want to run fast, you want to keep running fast, you've got to be cold. So get out there.
No, but I remember when I was training properly.
Yeah.
When I used to do my easy runs, I always used to wear basketball shorts.
Did you?
Because I wanted to go out jogging and people not to think I was a good runner. So when I was going slow, people weren't trying to beat me. But when you look like a good runner, people want to try and go past you, which is really irritating. So I used to wear basket shorts, baggy t-shirt, and just go really slow. People were like, oh, yeah, he's just a civilian.
I like it. I remember Paul Martelletti, right? Paul Martelletti used to, I used to see him out like, it wasn't the summer, but it was still hot, and he'd be wearing like long sleeve jacket. He'd be wearing a hat, woolly hat, and trousers. And I was like, "Paul, what are you doing? It's boiling." I was like in like t-shirt and shorts. He said, "Oh yeah, I'm just like, you know, the Kenyans do it. It doesn't hurt them, does
it?" And the Kenyans do it, so I'll do it,
because he was getting himself all hot, working on his heat tolerance, perhaps.
That's funny.
Getting himself all hot. So, that was nice. Lovely. Right, I'll let you get off, Jermaine, and we'll see everyone next week. Got a good interview with Wendy Sly, Olympic silver medalist, next week. She talks about the race with Zola Budd and Mary Decker, so that's a really good one to look forward to. So tune in next Monday, and you'll be able to hear that. Nice one.
Hey. Please. Okay.
Lovely. Speak soon.
See ya. Bye.
Bye.